book that I wrote in 1980 called An Air Cult that describes the gifts, the New Testament gifts that were given to the churches. The first gift placed in the church, of course, was apostles. There, when Jesus called out his church in Galilee, and the first gift placed in the church was apostles. I'd like to go to, before we get into this message on page number 50 in the theses, I want to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, if I speak in the tongues of men, even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, that is, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose and understanding of all secret truths and mysteries, and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing but a useless nobody. Even if I dole out to all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned for in order that I may glory, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is patient and kind, and love never envies, never boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily and proudly. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude and unmannerly, and it does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy and fretful and resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it and pays no attention to a suffering wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. It hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Love never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, that is the gift of interpreting the divine, the gift of prophecy, will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. Prophecies and all the gifts except faith, hope, and love will pass away. Actually, the word is to cease for themselves. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. That is, it will lose its value and be superseded by truth, the Word of God. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. He's talking about the gifts. Paul, the apostle, is talking about the gifts that were given to the church and placed in the church. The gifts of prophets and pastors and evangelists and teachers, administrators. But when the complete and perfect thing total comes, the incomplete and imperfect shall cease for itself, become antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child, and I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. And now that I have become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking into a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or an enigma. But when that perfect thing comes, and we're talking about the Bible, we shall see in reality face to face. Now I know in part and imperfectly, but then I shall be known and know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same way I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, and love abide. Faith and conviction and belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, hope joyful and confident, and expectation of eternal salvation, and love, the true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love forever in us. These three, but the greatest of all and the longest lasting is love. These are beautiful words. Oh. I speak them at almost every wedding that I do. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Now on page number 50 in the thesis, the near cult, faith, pieces to trust in, to rely or to cling upon. This gift is still in effect today. For in grace you're having been saved through faith. That faith is not of you. It is from a gift from God. It's still in the sixth instance today. You can't be saved without it. Mm-hmm. You can't do anything for God without it. This gift is in effect today, and without a gift, a person could not be saved. The writer, that's me, personally believes that each person that is born again has the gift of faith plus the gifts of hope and love when he is saved. Those who are members of the Lord churches have these gifts, and the gift of faith will be necessary until a person can see the Lord with his own eyes when he returns for his people. After the Lord returns, of course, this gift will cease because people will no longer need the gift of faith. It's a reality. For they will be with him. What God's people look forward to with faith will be in reality a fact. Hope. Hope is another gift that shall cease when the Lord comes back. The Greek word is elpis. Elpis. Now, in the original Greek language, it is much more stronger than the English word hope. In the Greek word, it is a guaranteed future existence. That's a guaranteed hope. It's a gift, a guaranteed hope. A guarantee that is signed by God, by the God of heaven himself. Now let's go to the word agape, love. Now, there are several words for love in the Bible. We have phile, or phileo, which means to like a lot. We have a thorge, which means a family love that you have for each other. And in the Greek language, you have the word eros, which means an erotic sexual love. But this word agape is a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. I read a book one time about the word agape. And the writer goes on to say, well, the Greek is nothing more, no better than English, because he was a King James only guy. And so he tried to play down the word agape, and he said that the word is not a sacrificial word that is instilled by God and inspired by God. It's just the word love. And he went on to say that the Pharisees loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Well, what does that mean? They sacrificed their eternal souls for it. Yeah, it's a sacrificial love. The word agape is a divinely endowed sacrificial love. Love is the one eternal gift that shall exist forever. God's children are partakers of it by relation of his divine sacrificial love for us. This is the gift that prompts his children to into service and worship and to seek the salvation of others. In John 14 and 5, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him, in John 14:23. Beloved, let us love one another, for the love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God is made manifest and real to us, that God has sent his only Son, his only begotten Son, into the world so that we might live through him in this love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us, brought to maturity in us. And by this we know that we abide in him if he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have come to know him and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. If someone says that I love you, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. 1 John 4:7-21, New American Standard. It is evident that many people believe the three gifts, faith, hope, and love, are eternal. But this is not the writer's opinion. The spiritual gifts have been listed. Their purposes have been discussed, and now the longevity of the gifts shall be studied. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins discussing the spiritual gifts. The Corinthians had been majoring on more extravagant gifts, especially the gift of languages and miracles. Paul tried to teach them that they needed to let God be the one who dispersed the gifts. Paul further admonished them to seek after the gift of love. In this writer's opinion, there are two verses in 1 Corinthians that have been mistranslated, and if translated correctly, they shed much more broader, clearer light on the subject. The first one is 1 Corinthians 12:31. Now, this is my translation, by the way. Moreover, ye are zealously desiring the greater, more showy, extravagant gifts. But yet, according to a more excellent, perfect way, I pointed out to you. The more prevalent translation of the verse indicates that Paul was telling the church to covet and desire after these gifts. But in context, he's telling them that they are zealously desiring the gifts. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul again states, ye pursue love. Ye are zealously desiring the things and gifts, probably the same showy gifts and spiritually, but rather in order that ye may prophesy. Paul tells the Corinthians that they should be desiring to prophesy rather than desiring some of the other gifts they were misusing. In another passage of Scripture, Paul is not telling the Corinthians to desire after gifts, but they were desiring too zealously and too much the spiritual gifts, especially the gift of languages in 1 Corinthians 14:12. So it is with yourselves, since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and concentrate on and striving to excel and to excel to abound in them in other ways that will build up the church. The King James Version also brings out clear the Corinthians were boiling overzealously in spiritual gifts. They weren't supposed to desire and seek them, but they were desiring and seeking them. And don't do that, but seek the more important gifts. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edifying the church. J.B. Phillips' translation reads, "So with yourselves, since you are so eager to possess spiritual gifts, concentrate your ambition upon receiving those which make for the real growth of your church." The Charles B. Williams translation says, "So as you are ambitious for spiritual gifts, you must keep trying to excel for the upbuilding of the church." If the Apostle Paul knew that these people were zealous after these spiritual gifts, why would he tell them to be zealous after the spiritual gifts? In 12:31. A person may not agree with the translation of 1 Corinthians 12:31 and 14:1, but the context still says that they were too zealous for the gift of tongues. And the Apostle Paul told them to seek after love and to build up the local assembly instead of building themselves up as spiritual giants. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul again is speaking here concerning the longevity and the purpose of the spiritual gifts. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just also as you were called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, a grace was given according to the measure of the Christ's gift. Therefore," he says, "when he ascended into high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts unto men." Now this expression, "he ascended," what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? "He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints and for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming." Ephesians 4, 1-14. In verse 13, Paul said that the gifts were given for the equipping and the maturing of the saints until the unity of faith, the system of teaching, had come and had been attained. The unity mentioned here is the Bible. Also mentioned are gifts which were to remain until the Bible was completed. James in his book states that a person can see himself in God's mirror as he really is, and it will study, and he will study God's word and practice what he learns. God will bless him because the word of God is to be man's rule of faith and practice. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. Delude yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his face, a natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, and by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. James 1, 22 25. We're going to stop right there for this message on page number 56. And we'll start up there on 56 for the next lesson. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out, and I pray for those that are hearers of your word, that they'll also be doers. That they'll have the greatest confidence they've ever had in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That they will know that they are saved eternally, that they'll know that they have the greatest gift that's ever been given to the world, and that's your Son and your Word of God and your Word belonging to you. Father, I pray that this message goes out and that it touches people's hearts and gives them the things that they need to follow you and the confirmation of what they believe, that they might know what they believe and know why they believe it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.